Girl, you seem to love me now. If you love me, if I was down and out, would you still have love for me, girl?
Rappers always worried about if that girl's gonna leave them when they not up no more. At the end of To Pimp a Butterfly, you had, you know, Kendrick being like, which wasn't about girls, it was about the fan. He was like, when shit hits the fan, will you be a fan? You know, basically like, again, I'm up right now, but if I'm not up, are you still gonna be down with me? Everybody's worried about their relationship always being transactional. Like, are you just here because what I can give you? You know what I'm saying? Is there really any love in the heart of the city? You feel me? Are you on some Snoop? Like, we don't love them hoes. You know what I'm saying? Like, tell me if you really, really bout me. Are you really a rider? When it go down, if you can't get what you want from me, am I disposable? Am I interchangeable? Or is it some Beyonce situation where, like, don't you ever for a second get to thinking, you're irreplaceable? You like how flat that mug was? Stick to rhyming and poetry, prop. And the podcast is pretty cool, too. But please, man, you ain't hold that note in no paper bag. You feel me? You know what I'm saying? Anyway, joking around. Point is, the question is, do y'all really love us? I want to give you a matrix to think about where to cast your most powerful weapon. Your vote. Hood politics.
Free game, free game, free game. Free game, free game, free game.
Yo, what's up, y'all? This is another one of them free game episodes where I'm just trying to put you on in a way that says, like, look, here's a way to think about this. And what I want to talk about is, yeah, like, I'm this is like the fourth episode where I'm talking about midterm elections because it's that important right now. You feel me? Well, it's always important, but I really want you to, like, man, not think about this. Most time people skip the midterms, and I hope you've been paying attention enough to understand that, like, let me tell you what you can't afford to skip. You feel me? How many times have I said before, like, it's really not these, like, the big 4-year presidential elections in a lot of ways that really affect you as much as you think. It's these smaller ones. It's these more localized ones. It's these ones in between. You feel me? Like, those are the ones that actually really have to do with, in a lot of ways, you know, what the way that the rubber meets the road. You know what I'm saying? Of course, it's all connected. Of course, I'm not saying, I'm like, every election matters. I mean, down to your school board. But I what I'm trying to say is, like, don't just pay attention to the big ones. You feel me? So this midterm is like, this isn't an abstract, just news thing. This is like legit, like really close to your life. You with me? So I want to give you some things and ask you about, like, yo, do these people really love you? And I'm going to get to a premise or a question I want y'all to ask yourself at the end, but I need to build a case to get there. Do y'all really love us is the question at hand. But first I want to talk about who the y'all is, right? And then how it works once you're at the table. And then finally, the ultimate question, which is the game I'm trying to give y'all, but I want to make you listen to the end. Like, you skip. What am I talking about? Whatever. The point is, I don't want to do the reveal to the end. Whatever. I don't care. You know, you was a kid. I don't care. Somebody take your ball, you absolutely care. Anyway, way off topic. So look, obviously your boy leans left. You ain't never heard come out my mouth that I'm a part of any particular political party, right? Clearly my positions, are relatively progressive, you know, but progressive according to who? Like, I think I've made this point before, like in relation to what? Right. So when we say things like right wing, left wing, you know, liberal, conservative, progressive, constitutionalists, like all these terms. And then sometimes you throw out terms like Marxist that like people are arguing, like there's ain't nothing in America Marxist. Like you need to do your homework, nigga. Nothing about us is Marxist. That means you don't know Marxism. Anyway, these terms, I think it's important to understand it in this sense. This is the number one thing in the, or not the most important, but the first thing in the order of things I'm trying to communicate to you is that these names are, how do I say this? It's the cart before the horse. It's named after. It's almost like you have all these particular issues, topics, whatever, views. And to be honest, every person, and if you think about it, like who, like, I'm not sure many of us neatly fit perfectly into any of these categories. It's because the categories were drawn after. If you could picture a whole scatterplot of, like, I don't know, pennies or marbles or coins, right? Scattered all over a table. And then someone takes a piece of string and just like strings circles around certain ones of those coins and then calls that something. You following me? So what I'm saying is the label is put on after. So if you like, I'm a progressive, well, that means blah, 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 blah. But if somebody's, but if you say, well, yeah, I'm a progressive, and then they start laying out the progressive agenda and you like, well, I don't know if I rock with all of this. Then you're like, do I have to believe this because I'm calling myself a progressive? No, you don't have to call yourself a progressive. You know what I'm saying? If you like, I actually do like kind of rock. I think institutions and traditions are important. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, well, you're a conservative. And it's like, well, I don't know, man. I feel like reproductive rights is super important. It's like, well, you're not a conservative. You think, well, because the name was put on after. Like we, for organizational purposes, because of how our brains work, we feel like we need to put names to, and of course, because again, you got to have something to check. You got to have a box to check. Right. They need to send you a ballot. So, I mean, I have to have a way to at least communicate. But the categories don't set the rules. The people in them set the rules. So you don't have to fit neatly. And that's part of why, or that's mainly the main reason why you don't hear me ever say, well, I'm a Democrat or I'm a liberal or I'm a socialist or I'm a, because it's like, yo, to me, this is a buffet. Like I could eat from, I'm a citizen and I could eat from any buffet I want to. Some like, it's like if you order something, it's like going, like, let me see if I can think of another comparison. It's like going to a restaurant that don't allow substitutes. Well, no, this is the way that the chef likes it. You like, man, I'm not finna eat here. Well, the chef like really, I remember I went to this one restaurant in, was it Indianapolis? I think it was Indianapolis. What's the big city in Indianapolis? It was Muncie. I was in Muncie. That's what it was. Was it Muncie? It might have been Indianapolis. I don't remember. That was a long pause. Matt, put some music right there so it don't seem so bad. Anyway, I went to this restaurant and it was like what reminded me of a 2014 hipster restaurant, to where it's like maybe 13, where it's like y'all still doing, like, this is a deep cut, y'all still doing Chemex slow pour overs as if like specialty coffee technology hasn't advanced since the Chemex. You know what I'm saying? Like it's like that first wave of third wave specialty coffee where they don't have cream and sugar. If you come to their coffee shop, they're just like, we don't have cream and sugar. It's like, okay. You done discovered coffee, right? Apparently, okay. So you invented specialty. You purist. You feel me? It was like one of them spots where there was a time out here in LA. Like if you went to a little hipster spot, it was like that, right? Since then, we've relaxed. You know what I'm saying? But this restaurant was still there. And then I remember we ordered this thing, and I was like, my wife asked, yo, can we substitute the potatoes for sweet potatoes? That man said, no. We was like, excuse me? He said, well, we see food as art, and our chef is the artist, and he pieces things together. So no, you know, we don't allow substitutions because it's almost like offensive to the artist.
me and my wife looked at each other and was like, fam, these is pancakes and waffles. This ain't a Michelin star restaurant, in which case we understand where there is no menu. You're given a meal card that tells you your three courses. Okay, I understand that. But what in the 2012 is this? Okay.
All right. You know what I'm saying? It's like, yo, you got gluten-free? You got gluten-free buns? No, they're brioche. Again, it's a part of the, it's like, all right. Apparently y'all still stand for that out here. You know what I'm saying? You must be the only spot in town, because nigga, this is the most ridiculous shit I ever heard in my life. Like, okay, whatever. Right. So all that to say, it's not like you can't substitute the fries for sweet potato fries when it comes to like your political views. Like, if you like, listen, dude, like, I rock with all this, but I don't really feel that. Like, you can do that. Like, you could switch out for a gluten-free bun. You could go with a turkey burger rather than a beef. Like, you could do that. So if you like, I like certain things that the left is saying, but some of this stuff is wild, then that's okay. Don't feel like you have to like follow the rules they saying. Like, you could switch it out. So the categories came after. The names came after. The issues are the issues, right? Don't let none of these people, you know, running for office or anything, don't let them convince you that you're not a good A, B, or C if you don't hold to these particular topics. You allowed to hold to whatever you want. You ain't got to fit nobody's category. Know what I'm saying? I'm going to take this really home as a black person. And this the one that, like, I feel like, you know, I shouldn't share this with y'all, because this is some like in-house stuff. So if you're not black, don't listen to this part. Skip ahead. I don't know. Y'all probably got your own versions of this, but I'm going to talk about it in terms of black people. The diaspora of, everybody pronounces that word different. Diaspora. Everybody do. Point is, we are a wide, very diverse group of people that we just call black. I mean, y'all watched Encanto, right? You see that little boy when he got his magic to see animals, he black as hell. Transatlantic slave trade. We come Colombian too. You know what I'm saying? So like, we're a very diverse group of people. And oftentimes, because of the uniqueness of the experience of the like black American slave descendant, we were robbed of so much of our cultural identifiers that in some ways part of the byproduct of that is we start policing each other around those experiences. Like, we start putting rules around blackness, right? Black people like certain sport. You know what I'm saying? You sound like this. You eat these kind of foods. You kind of, you know, which kind of like in a lot of ways, you know, if you come here, you Haitian, you Belizean, you know what I'm saying? You got different, you got bonan cheese, you know what I'm saying? And your bailop that you eat, you feel me? It's like, you ain't never had a collard green ever in your life till you got here. You feel me? So like, there's these, a lot of times we have a way of putting rules around what it means to be black, why it's hard to like look at like suburban black folk. You feel me? That like, well, y'all ain't come from the struggle, so it's like, I don't know how black you are. These are things that I feel, and you know, again, there's disagreement among this that I feel is like detrimental to, and it's like, and we selling ourselves short. The black experience can be as diverse as the people in it. You know what I'm saying? So like, okay, so you come from the suburbs. You feel me? Okay. You into anime. You know what I'm saying? Like, you ain't never played a sport today in your life. You just big on that nerd culture. You on your Lupe Fiasco. You feel me? Like, just nerdy as hell. You know what I mean? Like, you could do that, you know, or Sal Masakeda, you know what I'm saying? The you know, OG, like, surfer, snowboarder from, like, you know, the X Games years. Like, I mean, he's a, from Oceanside, black surfer. You know what I mean? Does that make him any less black because he be in the beach? You know what I'm saying? Well, clearly you never been to Madagascar. They surfers down there. You know what I'm saying? Clearly you ain't been to South Africa. You know what I'm saying? They surf down there. Now, on the other hand, I think there's something to be said about having a type of experience that makes you feel like you need to actively work against the rest of us or disassociate with the things that are verifiably black. That's a different story. You know what I'm saying? That's some self-hate type stuff. That's something different. You know what I'm saying? But if you just in the anime, you in the anime. But you know, I don't need you to run around here saying, well, like, I don't bounce around like monkeys like you other black guys. Then I'm like, okay, nigga, like, time out, homie. Like, that's a different story.
I probably shouldn't wade into these waters either because I'm 13 years out of single and my wife is Latina. But I have a very hard time when I hear black men say stuff like, I don't date black women. I don't like black women. You know what I'm saying? Or like, man, I saw some of the most egregious, like in this like manosphere being like, oh, I don't mess with the Shaniquas. I don't mess with the dark skin. I was like, nigga, I'll bust you in your face. You know what I'm saying? Cause that's different. That's self-hate. If you're like, I fell in love with who I fell in love with. That's one thing. You like this, but to say that you don't like your own is like, nigga, like what's going on with you? That's you're actively working against us. That's a different story. You ain't got to tear down your sisters because you're into something else. Like, man, that's fraudulent. What did the homie Conscious Lee called it? Sucker solidarity. That's some sucker solidarity where it's niggas on some sucker shit need to get together and feel better about themselves. So they say sucker shit things like that. No, man. Sucker shit. You can like have be, you know what I'm saying? Like, look, you married an Asian woman? You married an Asian woman. Okay, dope. But if you, that's who you married, that's who you fell in love with. But on some like, because I don't date black, like, come on, fam. That's some self-hate. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about self-hate. I'm talking about a diversity of experiences. So all that to say, again, with your political categories, they were placed after. You're allowed to eat from whatever table you want to eat from. That's point number one. Now, let me tell you point number two after this break. Y'all, welcome back after I just paused for 2 seconds and you guys heard a ton of ads. I don't know, man. I mean, it's just a lot of ads, but at least we're I'm making my money back here. Come on, guys. This mug ain't free. This show ain't free. I mean, really? Okay, again, off topic. What's my next point? Okay, point number two is, okay, the categories are for organizational purposes. Doesn't mean that you can't substitute the sweet potato fries for the regular fries. You know, you can't switch out a bun for pretzel to brioche. You know, you can have your different opinions. But once you get into position, you voted your guy in, you said, okay, well, I agree enough about this person, their platforms. You know, everybody ain't perfect. You know what I'm saying? But I agree enough generally that like your general, I think that the general moral compass of this particular group is probably something that I would rock with. Okay, so if that's your position, cool. You know, it is what it is. It's the only system we got until we can think of another one. It's the best one we got, or maybe not the best one, it's the only one we got, but either way, we here. It's time to now do the act of governing and the art of politics, you know, getting legislation passed and things on the books and checks cut, you know, just doing the actual work. One would believe
and hear how I'm phrasing this, that you have to compromise because you have multiple views. Like, you're representing the entire, so everybody obviously don't agree. You have to compromise somewhere. Man, one of the saddest stories I think coming out right now is, man, he's like, there's superintendents that, like, across this country that are thinking about killing themselves, like contemplated suicide, because you just can't make everyone happy. People think, like, you know, if you send these kids home, you know, that's a death wish. You know what I'm saying? You're folding. You know what I'm saying? Like, people so, like, willing to lay their life down on the fact that, like, these kids have to be in class with no masks. Either that or I'm, you know what I'm saying? Fools getting death, you know, death threats to their house, or the other way around, being like, you're literally killed my child if you made them go to school. And then you got the teachers orgs striking. You're in a, like, it's a no win. Fools are like, I can't make anyone happy. You have to compromise. There has to be a place somewhere. If you are in charge. I just wrote a blog about some of my other work. It's called I Did a Difficult Thing. I'm on the board of directors for a nonprofit that I can't get into the specifics of about the particular situation, but I had to do something I didn't want to do. And part of that blog is expressing the weight you feel when you actually hold the levers of power, when you actually have it's one thing for us to yell from outside, but when you actually sitting there and you know there's a body count no matter what you decide, and one of them numbers in that body count might be your own, either literally or your career, whatever the case may be, there's a body count no matter what you decide. You think real differently about how you choose. What if it's even possible to compromise? I guess that's the point. The point I'm trying to make for point number two is compromise is necessary until you meet somebody that won't. There are, if you ain't been paying attention, there's some people that just, they not compromising. This is what we want. And sometimes, look, when you're the one that's willing to be, for lack of a better term, logical, at least like reasonable about something, sometimes you the loser. Because if the person across the table ain't reasonable, listen, I'm from the city. I can't tell you about how many times I've been standing in front of these vatos and like, the only way to communicate with this hothead is to tell him I will die for my backpack. Of course, I'm not going to die for my. That's ridiculous. And this fool really don't want my backpack. There's nothing in it except for a U.S. history book, a couple spray cans, a half-eaten sandwich. I got nothing. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, but it's the principality to the situation. I shouldn't have walked down his calle, míralo. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is mi barrio. Like, look, when you grow up with them vatos, let me tell you something, man. Some niggas is unreasonable. And I'm like, look, bro, it's your world, homie. Like, fam, I'm not a part of none of this. I ain't repping no, like, I'm not a part of this. I remember one dude yelled out the window, hey, you from Inglewood, eh? And I was like, nah. I live right here. It's just, if I reasonably tell you, well, no, nigga, like, you know the rules. If you ask me where I'm from and I don't bang my hood, not only do you lose respect for, and I actually am from the set, you, not only do you lose respect for, so this fade I'm about to get is like merciless. As soon as I get back to the block, I'm gonna catch another fade from my own block. So, you know, if I don't stack on you immediately, it's because I'm honestly a civilian. Like, I don't, like, nigga, be reasonable. You know what I'm saying? But if you're talking to somebody that's not reasonable, guess who wins? In some situations, the unreasonable one gets its way. Y'all acting like Donald Trump was reasonable. That nigga's not reasonable. You feel me? He's still trying to get people to adjudicate the 2020 election. He trying to say if that's not your platform for your 2022 midterm, nigga, then I'm not riding for you. And you could see some of these Republicans squirming over this. Like, some of them squirm them. Some of them was like, whatever, nigga, whatever it take. They put on for their city. You know what I'm saying? Like, you might run into somebody that is unreasonable or that just will not compromise. And when you run into somebody that will, even in politics, if you run into somebody that's like, yo, I'll tank the whole thing. I'll burn the whole ship down. It's not happening. then what do you do? Which brings me to this third point. Like, it's, we're living through it right now with the Voting Rights Act. Fultz is willing to tank the in the Democratic Party. The John Lewis Voting Rights Act within the party. It's fools that are like, I'm not doing it. So it's compromise. You have to compromise in politics. I mean, no. If you're willing to tank it all, if you that serious about your position, even the people that put you in, like, it, there are some people that just will not bend. Now, why they won't bend, I mean, that's a whole different story. It might be because there's some bag securians going on there that, again, that's hood business. We wasn't a part of that discussion, but, you know, they done made a deal off the table with somebody else, or somebody got some dirt on them and they don't want to come out. You know what I'm saying? So there's a reason why they may not bend, but the point is, some people don't bend. And I'm asking you, this your game. I'm asking you, like, I mean, are you cool with that? Like, is that somebody you want representing you that's not willing to compromise at all? Well, it depends on, which brings me to my third point, what they're willing to bend on. Let's take another break. So this last point I want to bring up, I think, is specially, I can't think of any other adjective. It's so crucial, so important for, I'm going to say, because I can only speak from my own skin, I'm going to say black voters. Because of what we're going through with this filibuster in this John Lewis Voting Rights Act. Now, I've done an episode about filibuster, you know, filibuster with hoes, the history of filibustering, right? And what particularly this Voters Act is kind of coming from. And Republicans are astute in their chess to say that the Democrats are tying this to the January 6th insurrection, and that's a bad faith comparison. That's not, they're like, yo, that's not fair. You're trying to manufacture rage. And the Democrats are like, okay, let me explain this logic to you. They believed the election was fraudulent because of a big lie, like we talked about last week. And therefore, asked all of their representative to change the voting laws because these are the things that made this election fraudulent. So so while they might be absolutely correct that you're tying this to rage, the Democrats are like, well, nigga, I mean, follow the logic. Like, this how we got here. Y'all thought y'all trying to change our rights for voting because you think that's how we cheated. Despite, again, any evidence otherwise, that's what y'all believe. So, of course, we're tying it to this. So the question you have to ask yourself now, here go the game. Like, yo, this message is so important. Whoever you brought to the table, whoever you voted for to come to the table, when you choose that person, your most powerful thing is you checking that box of the person or the people you want to go over this. Why? Here's your game. You have to ask yourself, If you want somebody reasonable, and if compromise is so important, who or what are they willing to put on the altar for the sake of compromise? If I take Biden's entire platform, the legacy of his presidency, and I ask myself, him and everybody that comes with his party, of all the things that you told me you were going to do on the campaign trail, of all the things you said you was going to do, right? If you run into somebody that's not willing to bend, not willing to compromise, who are you going to throw on the altar first? Who you going to sacrifice first? Are you going to sacrifice black people? Are you going to sacrifice the things that we asked you to do for the sake of compromise so that you can get your other things together? You following me? You wanted to be the president that brought everybody together, the party of reason, the party of justice. So now that it comes down to, okay, here's what I'm asking of you about protection for our voting rights. Now, I'm going to link some pages for you to understand exactly what's in the John Lewis Voting Rights Act, which has to do with, you know, mail-in ballots, felons being able to vote. Like, and as a side note about felons being able to vote, the fact that they can't is proof that our justice system doesn't believe in rehabilitation. Because if you believed in rehabilitation, once you do your time, I should be able to get my rights back. But you don't believe in that, clearly, or you'd let felons vote. So that's a justice issue. And we all know it's black and brown people for the most part affected by these things. You know what I'm saying? So all that to say, once you look into those things, what are you willing to let go? What are you like? This is a non-starter. We're getting this. Is it climate? Yeah, that's important. Is it your infrastructure? Yeah, that's important. Is it the things that the black community asked of you? Are you going to bend on that? I need to know when shit hits the fan. Are you going to sacrifice my issues, our issues on the altar of compromise for the sake of your overall legacy? Because what I'm getting at is that's usually what happens. It's black issues. Democrats walking around here like they got the moral high ground out this mug. And they're like, hey, we really need you guys to come out to vote. We like, nigga, we came. We went. We did vote. And we're like, all right, but like, what you gonna do though? And they're like, well, we can't have, you know, these hate mongering right wing in here. It's like, yeah, no, yeah, okay, but cool. But what are y'all gonna do? And they're like, well, you know, Black Lives Matter. It's like, I know. Okay, so, but what you gonna do though? That's what I'm like, you gotta keep it on their neck. Like, what you gonna do though? You can't just keep riding on these sayings. You know what I'm saying? Your platform can't be we not them. You know what I'm saying? Like, put in work. Put on. Now, you'll never hear me ever in my whole life ever pit struggling minorities, you know, poor BIPOC people against each other. I will never, ever do that because that's self-defeating. I'm not that, like, if you know me, like, I believe deeply in the realities and the necessity of intersectionality. Absolutely. I'm you call me what you want. I believe that is cornerstone to all of our survival. So having said that, the Asian hate crime bill went through. We still didn't get the George Floyd Act through. We were sacrificed. That ain't no diss to the Asian community. They understood the assignment and got the shit done. That first Native American senator, that sisterhood that got the monument in Utah protected and covered, she understood the assignment. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to get to the table, put on for yours, get your issues taken care of. I'm not dissing them. They understood the assignment. I'm talking about us. We know where we stand with conservatives. Because Mitch McConnell got on that thing and said, nothing wrong with your voting rights. Ain't nobody taking that from you. I don't understand what this law is for. It's like, okay, nigga, I know where you stand. The homies in Atlanta, when Cliff Albright, I don't know him. I'm saying the homies just as a general thing. But Cliff Albright, he's from Black Voters Matter down there in Atlanta. When the president and the vice president went down to Atlanta to talk about, you know, do some speeches about this act and about changing the laws of this filibuster, they was like, don't come here. You ain't good out here. Don't come here if you ain't got a plan. Nigga, I don't want to hear nothing out your mouth unless it's 1, 2, and 3. Nigga, you going to break this filibuster? You going to get this law passed or not? I don't want to hear nothing that you down to do, that you open to. Nigga, get the shit done. If you not going to get it done, don't come. And in my mind, that's the type of energy I feel like that's the type of energy we got to have. We put you on. I'm speaking specifically right now to the black community. Nigga, that's us. We did this. We can't keep getting sacrificed on the altar of compromise like our community's issues. And then you know what they give us? They give us a quarter.
They give us Maya Angelou on a quarter. This ain't no shade to Maya Angelou. She's an icon. Am I happy to see a black woman on a quarter? Yeah. You know what I'd love to see, though? Serious talk about reparations. I'd love to see a serious talk about our rights to vote, about prison reform, about allowing felons. That, I mean, thanks. Making Juneteenth a national holiday. Nigga, we celebrated it already. I mean, thank you. Don't get me wrong. And that's no shade to the black people at the table that have been trying to get this passed for a long time. Cool. Thank you. You know, sometimes I'll be telling my daughter, hey, baby, I need you to do the dishes by 9 o'clock. That's your chores. All right. Do the dishes by 9 o'clock. I walk in the house, it's 9:30. The dishes ain't done. And I'm like, what the hell, baby? And she's like, I cleaned my room. And I'm like, great. Well, look, I swept the floor. Awesome. Hey, I vacuumed. Amazing. Great. And she all disappointed that I'm not happy that she did those other things. And I'm like, fam, do the dishes by 9. That's like, I don't understand. I mean, all this is great. Thank you. I sent you there to do the dishes and do the damn dish. What? Why you want me to be happy about this? And sometimes I feel like you got to treat these politicians the same way I treat my child. We have to say, baby, listen, thank you so much for cleaning your room. I am proud of you for taking this initiative. And I need you to do what I ask you to do. There's a reason why I asked you to do that specifically. I appreciate you going above and beyond, but I need you to do what I asked you to do. So here's my game, guys. Here's the, I think right now going into the midterms, be willing to look for deep cut candidates, because sometimes them deep cut candidates really just shift the conversation. It makes those like more big name candidates have to talk that talk, have to do the stuff, because we like, listen, we don't have to send you to office. Oh, yeah, you don't have to. I'm going to use a white boy reference here. You know, when Mumford & Sons won all them Grammys, they weren't on an independent label. They weren't on a major. And that was a wake up call to them major labels, because it was like, oh, you mean somebody don't have to be with us to win? No, they don't. So you need to ask yourself, are my issues going to be what you sacrifice for the sake of getting the job done? And I don't know if you can stand for that, but I'm not sure I could let that shit ride. Hood politics, y'all.
Hey, it's so hood right now. Hood politics, y'all. So hood.
Yeah, this here thing was recorded by me, Propaganda, in East Los Boyle Heights, Los Angeles, California. This mug was mixed, edited, mastered, and scored by Matt Osowski. I can totally say his name, guys. It was a shtick. He's going by Matt now again because he got into some legal situations with the name Headlights. Y'all know Common used to be called Common Sense. Y'all know Tip. T.I. was Tip. Sometimes it happens. Executive produced by the one and only Sophie Lichterman for Cool Zone Media, and the theme music by the one and only Gold Tips, DJ Sean P. So y'all just remember, listen, every time you check in, if you understand city living, you understand politics. We'll see y'all next week.